and welcome to the UK Gamers Podcast. Well, it's been quite a while since my last show, and I'm going to take the opportunity to do a quick review of the year, as this will be the last show of 2009. I'm also going to take some time over the break to have a think about what to do with the podcast, because as I say, it has been quite a while since my last show, and I need to sort some bits out and see what I can do to solve some of the problems that have resulted in me not actually being able to get a show out for weeks and weeks. Right, well, before I go on to that, obviously big stuff been going on recently. There was the Board Game Geek Con, and lots of opportunity there to play great games. That's definitely one I'd like to get myself out to at some stage. It's based over in the US, so that's going to be a bit logistically challenging, particularly when you consider that I only actually managed to get to two game shows this year, despite planning to go to about six. So there you go. Now, the other big show with regard to board games, obviously, was Essen, and lots of buzz about that. There's a huge list of games I need to trawl through and discover more about. Two in particular caught my eye from a quick scan, and that was Dungeon Lords and Factory Manager. Now, those of you aware of the PC game Dungeon Keeper might be intrigued by Dungeon Lords, because effectively it's the same premise. You're an evil dungeon lord. You set up a load of monsters and traps and so forth and try and slay the invading heroes who've come to kill the evil, nefarious creatures and take their gold. The theme looks fantastic. The graphics look fantastic, although I have seen some mixed reviews. People say, you know, the theme is really just pasted on and it's a bit of a kind of a number crunching thing, and you're either going to like that or dislike it. And I'm not 100% sure if it's my thing. I'm hoping the theme and the production standards will overcome any of those limitations, but I'm going to need to find out more about that. It looks really good and the concept is fantastic, so definitely one for me to put on my radar. The other game that immediately leapt out at me was Power Grid Factory Manager. Now, I really enjoy Power Grid, and Factory Manager looks very excellent, as far as I can see. Again, some mixed reviews. One person seemed to infer, you know, why play Factory Manager when you can just play Power Grid? So, you know, pros and cons there. So definitely loads to look at from Essen, and those two in particular are definitely on my radar. Now, other new stuff that's come out this year have been obviously loads of great RPG products, and I've unfortunately not been able to keep my eye on the ball there quite so much. Now, in particular, I've been very keen to see that Wordplay has actually made it as a final product. Now, I first came across Wordplay when I went to the Furnace Game Show in Sheffield and participated in HeroQuest, and there's this Wordplay beta test going on. I really wanted to do that. Unfortunately, it clashed with the Serenity HeroQuest session that I was really keen to go to. And I'm very disappointed about that, because I managed to pick up a beta copy of the rules, and they do look really good. And the session that he was running was actually set in the first age of Middle-earth, so it was a really intriguing concept, and I might have to pick myself up a copy of the final product. It's an excellent little game system, and a bit like HeroQuest, is applicable to many genres. Now, HeroQuest itself has been subject to a new version, and I think it's the newest and best version they've produced. Now, many people have got a bit jaded by HeroQuest, because they just seem to keep rewriting it. I mean, first of all, there was Hero Wars, which were in kind of booklet form. They then re-released it in your more traditional large booklet form as HeroQuest, and now we've got yet another new version of HeroQuest. It's also been reproduced using a Russian game setting, and that works pretty well as well. So, very good game system, very applicable to many things. As I say, I actually took part in a HeroQuest Serenity, which was an unofficial kind of hack of the game system, and it's very, very useful for that. So both those are great systems, a bit like the basic role-playing system for using on almost any type of game genre. Now, with regard to fantasy, I've always been a big fan of the Games Workshop universe. Yes, some bits of it are a bit quirky and clunky and so forth, but I just like this idea of this dark, gothic, kind of despair setup that Games Workshop have with their 40k universe. So I'm very pleased to see that Fantasy Flight Games continue to do great products for both Dark Heresy and Rogue Trader. It was very disappointing to see that Black Library brought it out and then seemed to dump it fairly quickly. But the great news is Fantasy Flight Games have picked it up and run with it. They're also starting to produce lots of really good board games as well, and there's all a buzz about some of the new board games that are being released by Fantasy Flight Games set in the, you know, the GW universe. And of course that neatly leads me into the fact that Space Hulk was a big announcement this year. Lots of buzz, lots of anticipation. Finally it arrived, and it was an absolutely fantastic piece of design with fantastic plastic pieces, and I believe very, very successful for Games Workshop. So successful that my local store had basically sold out of every single copy within 30 hours of receiving them. So, you know, not bad for a game that's, you know, nigh on £50-60. I didn't actually pick up a copy myself. If it had been Dark Angels rather than Blood Angels, maybe I would have done. But it looks fantastic, and there's been a few games down at my club, and people have been very impressed with it. A great mix between all the various rule variants that there were. Now, Space Hulk seems to suffer a lot of fates of many Games Workshop games of basically being brought out, released, great acclaim, great hype, and then pretty much dumped almost immediately. Now, obviously, there will be a little bit of support for it, as there is for the specialist games, and I think this is a bit of a tragedy in one of Games Workshop's kind of weak spots. One of the best game systems I think they've ever produced is Epic Armageddon. Now, I played quite a lot of that in years past, haven't actually played a single game this year, but it's a really excellent game system about, you know, taking objectives and holding them, and I think it plays really quickly and seems very well balanced and elegant. Unfortunately, I guess one of the problems with it is it doesn't always fit in with some of the marketing and business policies that Games Workshop seems to enjoy, and often this, of course, gets you into the flame war debate of, you know, love or hate Games Workshop. Now, I think they produce some great products, and their figures are without question some of the best on the market. They do suffer a bit from scale creep from time to time, and obviously there's always fresh releases to either make you curse or rejoice about. Now, I'm in particular looking forward to 2010 actually painting up and playing with the huge horde of GW stuff I've got. I got a load of Lord of the Rings stuff, which I'm hoping to get involved in a War of the Ring battle. Still haven't managed to actually play a game of that. Very excited by the game system, and just don't seem to be able to get my act together with actually having figures available to play. And unlike some of the youngsters at my club, I'm not prepared to turn up with unpainted figures. Now, to help battle that, we're actually going to hold a tournament at our club, and hopefully that will encourage them to get their figures painted. We also started a bit of a policy of nagging them to death about not having painted figures. And this is, I guess, one of those things that many games clubs suffer with, is, you know, how hard do you lean on the youngsters to actually, you know, put a bit of effort into painting their figures? I mean, I say to them, well, you know, if nothing else, at least underpaint them black and, you know, paint a bit of flesh tone on or something, because, you know, that doesn't take too much effort. So it's definitely something that we as a club are working to stamp out locally. But obviously, at the same time, you don't want to alienate the youngsters totally and scare them off. You know, there's no point just saying, no, you can't play, which I believe some clubs do. And maybe you disagree with me on that. But we have a fairly laid-back attitude. But, you know, we are finding ways and means to encourage them to get around that problem. Now, this tournament, of course, gives me a bit of a problem that I have a large amount of Dark Angels, Space Orcs, and Chaos Marines to finish painting. I'm probably going to crack on with my Dark Angels, because I've actually got enough figures there to actually field an army at the moment, but maybe not all the choices I want. So that's definitely something for me to feverishly busy myself with over Christmas and January. And, as I say, Lord of the Rings is probably next on the list. But in the meantime, I'm busying myself with 6mm stuff. Now, I'm a big fan of 6mm. You might not realise it, because I keep waffling on about 28mm hard plastic. But big fan of 6mm stuff. Really like the GHQ product range for World War II. And for everything else, I pretty much standardise on Bacchus. Got a load of their Napoleonic and American Civil War stuff. And also managed to pick up some second-hand samurai stuff recently. And I'm really looking forward to actually having a go with my American Civil War stuff using maybe the Fire and Fury rules. So I might need to do a little bit of hacking to make that work. But, you know, big fan of Fire and Fury. and recently managed to pick up a copy of Age of Eagles, which of course is the Napoleonic version of Fire and Fury, so definitely stuff that we'll probably be playing a lot of next year. In fact, I was analysing the war games we tend to play a lot of, and we play a lot of Fire and Fury, I have to say. It's probably the game we play the most of. We also play a couple of other things. Wings has proved to be very popular, and hopefully Command & Colours Ancients is proving to be popular. A couple of times I've taken it down the club, really enjoyed it, played 2, 3, maybe even 4 games, and people, you know, say, well, yeah, a couple of little white points we're not quite so keen on, but definitely something they'd like to have another go at. Right, well, if I move away from board games and war games and role-playing games, that kind of leaves the electronic games and loads of stuff going on there. I must admit, though, again, that's something else I've not really been keeping my eye on, because I've been playing a lot of retro stuff. Dug out the old 3DO, the Dreamcast, the Saturn and so forth, and been enjoying playing through a lot of those. But some of the more recent stuff that's come out for both the Xbox and PlayStation 3 has been very impressive. Obviously on the PlayStation 3 and Xbox there are still the odd little exclusive title, and Uncharted 2 and Killzone 2, I believe it is, seem to be pretty damn fine on the PlayStation 3. And of course Xbox got the rather wonderful Grand Theft Auto and Mass Effect, and really looking forward to Mass Effect 2, hopefully fairly soon in the new year. Obviously there's also been games available on both systems, and one in particular that's caught my eye is Dragon Age. Basically from the same guys that brought you Mass Effect. Looks very intriguing. Another thing for my stocking, hopefully. If not, well, here come the January sales. The other game that has intrigued me is Assassin's Creed 2. Now, I really like the premise of Assassin's Creed 1. You know, you're an assassin in the Crusade era. However, I was a bit disappointed with this kind of future setting where they actually send you back in time and stuff. That didn't really gel for me, and I must admit, I haven't really given Assassin's Creed enough of a chance, and I'll probably have to pick it up, but Assassin's Creed 2 seems to take all that was good from the first film and try and improve on it, and again, like a lot of things, there are a couple of mixed reviews, but the buzz about Assassin's Creed 2 seems to be pretty good, and I think they're two of the more interesting titles out right now. Obviously, some of the usual suspects are out and around. For example, on the Xbox, you've got Grand Theft Auto, and on the PlayStation 3, Tekken, which, of course, rather upsettingly for some people, looks like it's going to be a pretty good game for the Xbox as well. So, all sorts of interesting developments over there. Grand Theft Auto episodes looks really good. I'm pleased to see that it's actually a mission disc that doesn't actually require you to own the original game. It's sort of like a standalone product. Of course, you can also download it on Xbox Live, and that's proved to be something that the Xbox guys are really quite keen on with their recent update with Zune and Facebook and so forth. It looks like they're really trying to make Xbox Live be a really great product, and I do think the Xbox is slightly better at the online stuff than the PlayStation 3. Having said that, the PlayStation 3 has a really excellent version of the BBC iPlayer, and I really enjoyed recently watching some programmes I missed in nice high def on my PlayStation 3, and it actually looks really good, much better than trying to watch again on your PC. And I think the PlayStation 3 is really coming along, and the Xbox better watch out. I mean, the PlayStation 3's easy to upgrade the hard disk, it's got a great Blu-ray playback, DVD playback, it's quieter, it does seem to be a little bit more reliable than the Xbox, and the games now are getting to the stage where that, you know, that you don't feel that you're better off with an Xbox. So PlayStation 3 is definitely one to watch. The biggest limitation for it, of course, is it's still a bit pricey, and the Xbox is having some really great deals right now, so if you don't have either system, maybe you ought to consider going out and grabbing yourself a copy. If all you want is kind of media playback on the odd game, probably PlayStation 3 is better for you, but if you're really into gaming, and particularly online gaming, then I would argue that the Xbox still has the edge, and that's another kind of flame-baiting discussion, so that's just my opinion. If you disagree, fair enough. Right, well, I don't want to talk about too much more, but a couple of bits you might want to be aware of. Some upcoming shows. The one in particular that I'm aware of is the one in Cardiff, Penarth, in fact, Crusade. That, I believe, is going to be the 30th of January this year, or should I say 2010. And that's a show I'll definitely be going to because we go as a club. And I think we're going to be digging out our World War II 54mm skirmish game for that. Proved to be fairly popular last year, so we're going to give it another outing. And once that's all over, we're going to have to think about what we're going to do for 2011, I guess. Obviously, lots of great shows, hopefully next year, for me to plan to go to and probably fail to get to. Bovington, obviously, fairly high on my agenda. I'd quite like the idea of Essen, but again, being overseas, I don't see that happening. But I'd like to try get to some more role-playing conventions as well, because I haven't really managed to do much role-playing this year. As I say, when I was analysing the games I'd played a lot of, Carcassonne, Power Grid, Puerto Rico, they seem to be upcoming games, so you know, really been enjoying playing those quite a lot this year. But there's a couple of other games in my kind of in-tray, like I haven't broken open my copy of Agricola yet, so that's definitely one to have a look at. I haven't really played too much Advanced Squad Leader either, played a couple of games, really quite enjoy it, but it is quite in-depth. 40K, another game I'm really keen on trying to play a bit more of, plus the Lord of the Rings, War of the Ring, and as I say, lots of role-playing games I'd like to you know, play next year. Now, if, like me, you sometimes find life gets in the way and you can't either get to a game show or even to a gaming session, you can, ironically, get a little bit of a fix, courtesy of the BBC right now. Been very impressed by their gaming season they've been running recently, where they did a load of stuff, you know, retroactive reviews of various computer systems. There's also been a very interesting program on recently, Games Britannia, tracking kind of the rise of games in Britain from kind of Stone Age era all the way to modern times, and that's actually available on iPlayer, so you know, don't be afraid to have a trawl around on either iPlayer or the BBC channels looking for stuff if you want a little bit of a fix because you're a gaming addict. Also, the James May programmes are quite interesting with their discussion on like Airfix and Scalectric and Lego and so forth. So lots of opportunities out there to either play games or read about games or generally just immerse yourself in the gaming universe, and I'm hoping that's something I'll be able to continue to do. This year's been very good for me. I've actually been able to go to two gaming sessions a week minimum, which means I've been playing, you know, 6 to 8 hours of games every week, and that's not including any stuff I do at home by myself on Xbox or my retro games. So for me, I've been able to have a lot of great time doing that. Of course, one of the problems is life has interfered with some of my other bits and pieces, and that's something definitely need to look at and review for 2010. Anyway, bit of a short show, and I think that's probably all I want to waffle on about. Hope you have a great holiday, and I'll get back to you in 2010. So in the meantime, have a great Christmas and Happy New Year.